Mr. Prasadam and discuss something about Krishna. Because in a materialistic party, what happens? In a materialistic party, people hear some film songs and dance and then eat and then talk amongst each other. That is what happens. But the satsang is a spiritual party where these are the things which are going on. Bhajan means singing, kirtan means singing. There is dancing, there is also prasadam to eat, and there is also discussion about Krishna going on. The only difference is, after attending a materialistic party, what happens? Everybody is frustrated. Enviousness develops. But after attending a spiritual party named satsang, you will understand more about Krishna, become more close to Krishna, and become more peaceful. So, that is why sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha in satsanga is very important. Now, going further, we have the second aspect of devotional service. What is the second aspect of devotional service? That is to chant the names of Krishna. Chanting the names of Krishna is the most important spiritual activity. Like Srila Prabhupada used to say, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the backbone of spiritual life. Like without the backbone, you cannot even stand properly. In the same way, somebody wants to stand in spiritual life, one has to have this backbone properly done. So chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which we have taught you in the last few days, that should be taken up very seriously. Why chanting only? Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra only? Because no other spiritual practice is actually going to be practical in this age. They are not effective in this age. You may be doing so many kinds of Ashtanga yogas. You may be doing big sacrifice, havans and so many things. You may be doing some kind of so-called worship. All these things, they don't have any practical value. Because the Kali Santana Upanishad says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Iti Shodakshara Nam Nam Kalikalmashanashanam Nata Pratrupaya Sarvedesh Drishyate. There is no other upaya. There is no other remedy in the age of Kali other than chanting the names of the Lord. Sarva Vedesh Drishyate. All the Vedic scriptures are indicating to this particular Mahamantra to be chanted in this age by which we can attain perfection. And this chanting can be done in two ways. One in the form of a japa, which we have taught you with the beads. Everybody should do this Hare Krishna mantra on the beads at least a minimum of 2 rounds and gradually increase this chanting from 2 to 4, 4 to 6, 6 to 8. In this way, go on increasing and come to the standard of chanting 16 rounds every day. You are thinking, oh, it is too much. There are so many people who are studying in IITs, who are big businessmen, working in corporate sectors, and so many housewives taking care of children, still they are able to do this chanting of the 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it is practical for everybody. Only thing, we have to make up our mind. But at least immediately we are not able to take up 16 rounds, but at least you can start with chanting 2 rounds, which will take about 15 minutes. If you are going for a morning walk, you can just take your bead bag and beads and then go for a morning walk. 1 hour, you can finish 8 rounds. Such a practical process and a simple process. Just imagine what the sages used to get after going to the forest, renouncing their family and going to the forest, doing thousands of years of tapasya, that you are getting sitting at home, eating rasgulla and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What more you require? This is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can just have the best of the food which can be cooked in a sattvic way, offered to Krishna and have Krishna prasadam. And with the same tongue which you had taken prasadam, with the same tongue, chant the names of Krishna. Is there anything you're going to lose? You have to pay something for it? Nothing. You just have to have one thing. That is Shraddha. That is the faith. If you have faith in chanting the names of Krishna, it can give you the highest benefit, that is love of God. Even the yogis are not able to attain it. That can be attained by you just by chanting the names of the Lord. That is why one has to chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now the third thing which we are supposed to do is reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Like one thing which I would like to share with you all is, it is so surprising for me that I just took up Krishna consciousness when I was in the college. It was just few months or 2 or 3 months since I started reading Srila Prabhupada books, Bhagavad Gita by Prabhupada. I went to my hometown. At the time, I had picked up some discussion with some scholars. And during the discussion, they were big scholars. They were Sanskrit scholars. They had so much of experience in being students of some Vedic literatures. Of course, they all had imperfect understanding. But I was just 2 months old in reading Bhagavad Gita. While discussing with them, after about a couple of hours of discussion, the other person was a very old man. He told me one thing: where did you get all this knowledge from? He was surprised and shocked. Then I told, this is by reading Srila Prabhupada books. And not only that, just reading these books for a few months, I went to a college in Raipur, in Raipur University, in the philosophy department. Somebody was supposed to give a lecture. One of our ISKCON devotees, very advanced devotees, supposed to give a lecture on Krishna consciousness and Vedic philosophy. So I was just about maybe 6 or 7 months into Krishna consciousness reading Srila Prabhupada books. So then it so happened the lecture was all supposed to be done and the person was supposed to speak. He did not turn up. And I was just waiting for him. And the principal, the professor there, he was telling, oh, where is he? Then he told, he's not coming. Then he told, what can I do now? Then he told, why don't you give? I was just saying, why? I was not knowing anything, what to do. I just got out of the stage and started speaking. And after that, the professor and all the students appreciated so much that he said, you know, we have been doing this, all these things, but such a clarity of understanding of Vedic scriptures was not there. Then I was thinking, where did all these things come from? It was all directly from Srila Prabhupada books. So what a person, after learning the whole Sanskrit grammar, after going to the Gurukul training, after going through all kinds of scriptural study of the Upanishads and all, what understanding that person would not get? You can get it just by reading one book of Prabhupada in half an hour. And not only that, one can have that capacity to convince others. And not only that, we can even capacity have to speak about Krishna consciousness and Bhagavad Gita to others within a span of few months, maybe in a year or so. You can deliver lectures on Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada has written this Bhagavad Gita purports in such a way that even a fool, even a child can understand it. Even a child can understand it. That is the glory and the specific standard of Srila Prabhupada books. Just imagine in Westerners who never heard the name of Krishna right from their childhood. They are now giving discourses. They are quoting Sanskrit verses. Where is all this power coming from? It is coming from Srila Prabhupada books. Where is that conviction coming from? For the young boys and girls going to the college and they are talking about Krishna. Just imagine, you will find some young children here. They are also putting on tilak and they are also serving the Lord. Where along with them there are so many other friends. What are they doing? They would be laughing at them. They would be criticizing them. They would be teasing them. In spite of all these insults, all these situations, how these young boys and girls, they are able to tolerate all these things with the conviction that whatever I am doing is right and whatever all these people are doing, they are actually wasting their life. Where is this conviction coming from? That conviction comes from Srila Prabhupada books. It has been our observation that there are so many people who come to Krishna consciousness. They get attracted to Krishna consciousness in so many different ways. But only those people who study Srila Prabhupada books very systematically and read Prabhupada books very nicely and hear about Krishna in the discourses, they are the people who stick to this Krishna consciousness movement throughout life. Many people come and they'll leave. Of course, they will be benefited somehow or the other. But those people or those who read these Prabhupada books, they stick for a long time. And they continue this practice and achieve success. So, taking up Krishna consciousness is one thing, continuing with this one thing. Continuation will only happen when somebody reads Prabhupada books. It has got what all is there in the Vedic scriptures in the essence is mentioned in Srila Prabhupada books. And these Prabhupada books are actually textbooks in many of the universities in the world. So going further, we have the fourth aspect which you are supposed to do. What is that? That is dhammas. Dhammas means living in a religious place. Living in a dham. Dham means a place where everything reminds you of Krishna. You go to Vrindavan. Even the walls you see, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna. All names of Krishna are there in the walls of Vrindavan. You go to any place, you know, like the dham, everything reminds you of Krishna. It's called a dham. So dhammas doesn't mean everybody has to run away to some Mathura or Dwaraka somewhere. No. One should make his place where he is living, that place as a dham. Instead of having all kinds of crazy posters in your house, one should have pictures of Krishna. Like you have the paintings of Krishna by ISKCON. These paintings, Prabhupada used to say, they are the windows to the spiritual world. Like through the window you see what's happening outside. The same, if you want to see what's happening in the spiritual world, you just have to see Prabhupada, the paintings of Krishna conscious paintings by ISKCON. There are so many beautiful paintings. You can just get them framed and put, as soon as you get up, you can see the beautiful picture of Krishna. Like these days, people have an habit, as soon as they get up, they switch on the TV and watch some crazy people dancing up and down and making all kinds of howling noise. Just imagine if you do that, how your day will go. And if you see while watching these people dancing like crazy, some worms coming out of their nose and all kinds of things. And that's what happens in these so-called music videos and all. If a child sleeps while watching these things, then what happens during the dreams? The dreams, these things are going to come. So if beautiful pictures of Krishna are seen, and then the child or you yourself, you go to sleep, whole night you will be dreaming of Krishna, it will be very peaceful. When you get up in the morning, you see the pictures of Krishna. You start your computer, on the desktop you have beautiful picture of Krishna. So much of technology has improved that you can just download beautiful pictures of Krishna. You can go to krishna.com or iskcon.com and download so many pictures. Beautiful pictures are there. And you can make the whole atmosphere holy, and which reminds you of Krishna. Like even if you had to, suppose sometimes you had to go to a devotee's house and we don't know the proper address. And somehow we get into the proper building to find a flat, we just had to go and then see, oh, there will be a nice sticker on the board. It will be of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Or these days you have some stickers which say, Hi, Hello, Chodo, Hare Krishna Bolo. Some kind of stickers like this. They also, that if those stickers are there, that means it's a devotee's house. They remind you of Krishna. So somehow or other, we should make our living in such a way that everything and anything around us would remind us of Krishna. Now going further, the fifth aspect which you are supposed to do in your life is Vigraha Sevan. Shraddhaya Vigraha Sevan. Sri Vigraha Shraddhaya Sevan. So worshipping the deity form of the Lord. So we have the deities of the Lord. Deities means it is not murti. We say, some people say, oh, aapke mandir mein murti bahut accha hai. It is actually not murti. It is a vigraha, Sri Vigraha. It is not a statue. It is a deity. In Sanskrit we call it vigraha. In English we call it a deity. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, Tumi pratimana is sakshat Vrajendra Nandan. You are not a pratima. You are not just a idol. You are Vrajendra Nandan. You are Krishna himself. Tumi pratimana is sakshat Vrajendra Nandan. That is Krishna consciousness. That is the understanding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once, we had a children's program. So, generally, I take a lot of children's program. So, I wanted to tell children the greatness of the real aspect of a deity. So even in the photograph, somebody is not able to have a deity, at least they should have a photograph of Krishna. Now, to make a deeper impact on the minds of these young children, I showed them. So, how many of you say that this is a picture of Krishna, this painting of Krishna? And all the children raised hands. Yeah, yeah, this is a painting, as a picture of Krishna. Then I told, no, this is not a picture of Krishna. All children told, no, this is a picture of Krishna. Then I told, how is it, so tell me. Somebody told, oh, he has got a morpunk, he's got a peacock feather, he's got a flute. So he is standing in three-fold bending form. So that is why this is a picture of Krishna. Then I told, no. Then everybody started saying, no, you don't know who is Krishna. We know who is Krishna. This is a picture of Krishna. Then I told them, this is not a picture of Krishna. It is Krishna himself. So then all the children became silent. So Krishna and deity are non-different. It is not a picture of Krishna, it's Krishna himself. So when you invite Krishna in your house and worship Krishna daily, then your life will be very much regulated. Not only that, everybody in the house starts thinking, I am not the Lord. You find these days, everybody is thinking, I am the Lord in the house. The husband is thinking that I am earning the money, so I am the Malik. Whatever I say, it should happen. The wife is thinking, I run the house, I take care of the house, so whatever I say, it should happen. The children are thinking, whatever we say, it should happen, because anyhow, the parents tell the children, beta, hum tumhare liye ji rahe hai. Children say, anyhow, you are living for us only, na? So do whatever we say. So you find the husband is in one corner wanting to watch the news. You find the wife is in another corner trying to watch Ghar Ghar Ki Kahani. You have an elderly boy who would like to watch cricket match. You have a small daughter who would like to watch cartoon. There are four people in four corners and you have TV in the middle. That's what is Kali Yuga. Now Krishna, if you have Krishna in the middle of your house, then everybody thinks, oh, Krishna is the Lord. I'm his servant. So it is my duty to be the servant of the servant. Let me help my wife who is serving Krishna. Let me help my husband who is serving Krishna. The children think, let me help my parents who are serving Krishna. So as soon as Krishna comes, the center is found and everything is in harmony. If the center is not found, then there is no harmony. When there is no harmony in life, then automatically there is fight. That is why one has to invite Krishna in their house and worship Krishna. So these are the five mahasadhanas, and one can do. One can do according to the extent he can do, like deity worship. In the temple, we have the whole standard. Like once I had a Bhagavata course like this, and a boy studying in third standard, he attended the course, whole course. He came well before time, and he used to live at the last, and used to ask so many intelligent questions. Third standard boy. And at the end of the course, at the last day, he had a question. He told, I am going to school every day in the morning at 7 o'clock. How can I do worship of the Lord? I don't have time. Then I told, you have a study table. There you can keep a picture of Narasimha. And along with it, you can keep a picture, a small picture of Prabhupada. And then you have some flowers in your society. Just pick them up. Or some flowers if you get, wherever you get. And you offer it to Krishna. Offer it to Narasimha and Prabhupada. Some agarbati must be in your house. You just put the agarbati. That is enough. Because that is the time you have. If your mother is having more time, you can spend more time. So Pancharatra says, worshipping the deity form of the Lord is yathashakti. Yathashakti means, according to one's ability, one can worship the Lord. According to one's availability of time and resources, a rich man can offer nice, wonderful foodstuffs in a golden plate. If you're not so rich, if you're a poor man, you can offer some things in a simple way. At least a glass of water and tulsi can be offered. So in this way, one can worship the Lord. These are the five mahasadhanas, associating with the devotee. Sadhu Sangha. Number two, chanting the names of Krishna, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Number three, studying Sri Prabhupada books, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Maintaining an association atmosphere of Dham. And number five is worshipping the deity of the Lord. We have one book called Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. I hope we have put the food book stall today. And you can see, find out that book and then take that book called Beginner's Guide. There, how to offer food to Krishna, how to do the arati, how to set the altar. Everything, practical things are mentioned in that book. So you can have a copy of that book and then read for yourself for further direction. How to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Everything is mentioned in that book. You can take that book. Now, till now we discussed what is supposed to be done. Now, in short, we'll try to discuss what we should not do. There are always some things which we are not supposed to do. There are always some things which we are supposed to do. There are always some things which we are not supposed to do. So, which we are not supposed to do. So, if we do something which we are not supposed to do, then the benefit of doing the first five things will be lost. Like, if you go to a doctor, if you are sick and you go to a doctor, the doctor would say, please take these medicines. At the same time, he would say, don't eat these things. But if you take the medicines at the same time, start eating all those things the doctor has told not to eat, then the effect of the medicine would not be there. So if somebody is chanting, somebody is doing all kinds of devotional activities which you have mentioned till now, sadhu sangha and all this, at the same time, these four things which are not to be done, if they are doing, then the effect of these things will be lost. So, the example is given. Once a diabetic patient went to a doctor, and the doctor told, oh, you came just on time. If you had been a little bit delayed, then you know, you'd have lost your life. Take this insulin every day in the morning and the evening and come 1 week later. This person came 1 week later. The doctor checked the sugar level. He found the sugar level has shot up. Then he asked, oh, are you taking the medicine or not? Daily morning and evening, as you are told, I'm taking the medicine. Then how did the insulin level come up? Doctor was confused. Then later on he came to know. This person was taking the insulin every day as per the doctor's advice, at the same time eating 1 kilo of peda every day. That would not function, that would not work like that. That is why the whole knowledge we have got, it is like pouring water in a pot which has got a hole, if somebody is doing all these four sinful activities. That is why there are four principles which are not supposed to be done, four activities. Number one is no meat eating. No meat eating means no kind of eat meat. Why we should not eat meat? People ask this question. Because eating meat affects our body. Not only our body, our mind, intelligence, the soul also. Actually, meat is not meant for human beings. There is one book called The Higher Taste. This book contains so many instructions on how this meat eating is not for human beings. Our human body is exactly that like of the herbivorous animal, not of a carnivorous animal. Like there are some differences. The carnivorous animal's intestines are 3 times the body length. The herbivorous animals, the intestines are 6 times the bodily length. So, and the HCl content, the acid content in the carnivorous animals, the acid content is high. In the herbivorous animals, the acid content in the bile is very less. So, the canines are there in the carnivorous animals. The human beings don't have these canines. The human body is exactly that of a herbivorous animal, not a carnivorous animal. Not only that, physically we fall sick. Like for example, as soon as somebody falls sick, you go to a doctor. He gives a medicine and says, don't take non-veg. He'll say, don't take non-veg. At least till the time you become okay, don't take non-veg. Afterwards you can take so that you can come to me back. So, this is not good for our body. There's so many bodily diseases are because of this non-vegetarian food. Some people say, oh, if I eat non-veg, I'll become very healthy, very strong. Then, one of the child told me this thing. You know, I don't want to eat non-veg, but my mummy told me, if you eat non-veg, you'll become very strong. Then I told, elephant is a vegetarian. But it's so strong. Rhinoceros is a vegetarian. So strong. And not only that, I told him, I'm also a vegetarian. And right from birth, I'm also very strong. Then this boy told, oh, my mother told, if you eat anda every day, you'll get an anda here. Then I told this boy, okay, show me how much, how big is your anda. He was a thin boy. I told, you don't have anything. I got a better anda than you. So, nobody becomes strong by eating non. There are so many people who are wrestlers, Olympic gold medalists, tennis players, a list of them, huge list of them. I just cannot quote all of them just now here. Who are all practicing vegetarianism. Of course, by having a sattvic diet, the mind will also be very sattvic. If you are having a rajasic diet, your mind will be rajasic. Tamasic diet will make your mind tamasic. So as is your mind, as is your food, so is your mind. Jaisa an, vaisa man. Like, you cannot expect that by eating some kind of masala or some kind of bel puri or some kind of thing, some very pungent, very tamasic thing, a rajasic thing, after eating some mirchi ka bhaji or something like that, you can sit peacefully and read. No, you cannot do that. Your mind will be agitated. It's not possible. So there is a connection between your mind and the stomach. Not only the stomach and the mind and the stomach also. Suppose sometimes when you are in great anxiety, the first thing which gets affected is the stomach. Like it so happens that when the children go to the examination hall, they're so tensed. Then when they get the examination paper, then they get the question paper, you see the first question, oh, very difficult. The second one, I know only half answer of it. The third one, I don't know. The fourth one, you know, out of syllabus or something like that. By the time the mind becomes so disturbed by reading the question paper itself, then what happens is exactly, there's some sounds coming in the stomach. Why the mind becomes disturbed, the stomach also becomes disturbed. So as is your food, so is your mind. That is why we should be very careful in what we are eating. And also, about the mind, there is intelligence. And the NASA report says, most of the scientists, they feel that they are all into NASA. And their brains are so sharp because they are vegetarians. Now, if the non-vegetarian food is actually so harmful with the body level, the mind level, and the intelligence, at the spiritual level also, it is very dangerous. Because Krishna doesn't like non-veg. Generally, here people may be thinking that we are talking about everybody being vegetarian. Actually, we are not saying that you should be a vegetarian. Once a person, an Indian in America, he met Prabhupada. And then told Prabhupada that I am a born vegetarian. Then Srila Prabhupada told, even a monkey is a vegetarian. What is so big thing in being a vegetarian? So he told that we are not here to profess vegetarianism. We are here to teach you Krishnatarianism. One should offer nice, wonderful, sattvic food to Krishna and accept Krishna Prasadam. By accepting Krishna Prasadam, our mind becomes very much purified. That is why we just should not be vegetarians, but we should be Krishnatarians. So there is nice, wonderful way of offering Krishna Prasadam. How to offer Krishna the bhoga and all is mentioned in that book called Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. You can even contact other devotees who can guide you in practical ways of Krishna consciousness. So no meat eating, no intoxication. So what is the meaning of no intoxication? No intoxication means one should not take alcohol, cigarettes, all these things. Because these intoxicants will actually destroy our life. They are dangerous for our health. Not only that, nobody has become a great man by intoxications. Actually, these alcohol and all these things, initially some people may feel do it out of fashion and get addicted to it. Once they get addicted to it, it is very difficult to leave. That is why, by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can give up these bad habits. No intoxication, no gambling. Gambling is also a very dangerous thing. People are having sleepless nights. They lost so much of property in gambling. They think they started out of some kind of time pass. Later on, it becomes such an addictive thing that even though he may be losing so much, but still he goes on gambling. And then he depends on something which is highly unpredictable. So he'll be always 24 hours, he'll be in anxiety. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? So in this way, he actually becomes so frustrated in the life. No intoxication and no gambling. And last, no illicit sex. So this illicit sexual relationships is very dangerous. These days, it has become so common. People are thinking, this is another way of life. But actually, this illicit sex not only destroys families, but also destroys the young brains. The young brains which can be used for higher purpose of life, they're completely destroyed because of illicit sexual activity. Now the children and the young boys and girls, they have been taught through the media, through different agencies, that there's nothing wrong. You can just indulge in so many illicit connections and you can be with it, no problem. It's in materially, what to speak of progressing spiritually. Families are being destroyed through the internet, through the TVs. So much of bombardment has been done. Like even in the schools, I saw, went to meet a principal. On the table of the principal, I saw a few books. I told, what are these books? She told, these are the books on sex education. Then I told, in the past, nobody was given sex education. But still, they had their good family lives, no problem. Why? You don't have to educate. Do you think the dog undergoes a sex education to produce children? No. It is a natural process. Then I saw the book that was a syllabus for the fifth standard child. And the fifth standard child, what does he know? He was so innocent. Actually, these agencies are corrupting their brains so that they can take undue advantage of them. So we should avoid these illicit sexual activities. So in this way, these four regulative principles we are supposed to follow. Among these four principles, there are certain things which I did not speak. I would like to speak separately. So when it comes to vegetarianism, there are two things which people find it very difficult to give up, and thinking that these two things are vegetarianism. But these two things are the onion and the garlic. So this onion and garlic is actually tamasic. Though they are vegetarian vegetables, but still it is tamasic in nature. And Krishna doesn't like tamasic things. You go to any temple, do you find people offering the deity some onion and garlic? No. Why? Actually, this came along with the Persians. Onion and garlic were never been grown in this country. This came along with the Persians. Because the Persians, they started cooking non-veg. And they cook non-veg, so much of smell comes. So to mitigate the stinking smell which is coming out of the cooking, they put another stinking smell. That is called onion and garlic. So that they can be neutralized. Some people say, oh, it is good for the heart. Of course, it is good for the heart. You can take it as a medicine. If the doctor says take it as a medicine, you can take it. But not as for the sense gratification. The person who takes more of onion and garlic, he feels sleepy. And not only that, he becomes very lazy. And lot of lusty desires come in the mind. Nobody can be very peaceful eating these things. And also, when we talked about intoxication, there are two things which people are so much addicted to, but think they say, oh, it's okay to take these things. But still best to avoid these things. That is the tea and the coffee. Tea and coffee is also a kind of intoxicant. People say, oh, I'm getting headache. Why? Because I have not taken my today's morning's tea. Like a drug addict will feel the same headache because he has not taken the morning drug. Same effect. You may say, oh, it's common. Just because something is common, that doesn't mean it is very good. One can actually work hard in giving up these things. Now once, this is my age-old question to my mother. So, I still remember that when my mother and father, they used to drink tea or coffee, I used to ask them, they used to give me milk. I used to ask them, I will also drink tea and coffee. Then they would say, oh, it is bad for you. I say, oh, how is it possible that it is bad for me and good for you? And the parents say, oh, child, this is not good for you. We'll give you milk. But if something is bad for the child, it's bad for you also. It's bad for you also. Now, only when you become old, then only you can drink. Why? It's a license or what? Becoming big, becoming old, it's a license to intoxicate? No. If it is bad, it's bad for the all ages. So, somehow or other, we can have a substitute of drinking Ayurvedic tea, and that will be a substitute. And if you can avoid, it's very good. But still, Krishna consciousness is satisfaction at all levels. These four principles which you spoke now, that four principles are to be followed. That means we should not intoxicate, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. Why only these four? Because these four destroy the four principal pillars of religion. They are four pillars of religion. That is, mercy. Mercy is one of the pillars of religion. This mercy is destroyed by meat eating. A person who is eating non-veg food, meat eating, in his heart, daya or mercy cannot come up. A person who is intoxicating, for him he cannot do tapasya. This is the second pillar. Tapasya is destroyed by intoxication. And cleanliness is destroyed by illicit sex. A person who is indulging in illicit sexual activity cannot maintain cleanliness of mind or the body also sometimes. And the fourth thing is meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. Nobody can be truthful. The pillar of truthfulness is destroyed by gambling. So in this way, these four pillars of religion, mercy, truthfulness, cleanliness and austerity, tapasya. These four things are destroyed by these four illicit activities. That is why we should give these four illicit activities. So some people may think, by accepting Krishna consciousness, I am losing something. Actually, we are not losing anything. We are actually gaining everything. Krishna consciousness is satisfaction at every step. Every step you can satisfy. You can satisfy yourself. Now physically we are satisfied because of taking nice wonderful prasadam. And then mentally we are satisfied because there is nice harmonious relationship among devotees. Nobody is envious. And then the spirit on the mental intellectual platform, one can be completely satisfied by hearing the nice wonderful discourse in Bhagavad Gita, reading Bhagavad Gita. There is no philosophy equal to that of Bhagavad Gita. And then ultimately on the spiritual platform, because we are chanting the holy names of Krishna, the soul is nourished. As much as we suffer because of not eating food, we are all suffering actually because of not giving food to the soul. When the body doesn't get food, the body suffers. The same way, when the soul is not getting its food, the soul suffers. What is the food for the soul? Krishna's names. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the food for the soul. And for lifetimes and lifetimes, we are not fed the soul. That is why we are suffering. So, we can be spiritually completely satisfied by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, there is no loss in accepting Krishna consciousness. One has to just make a simple endeavor to understand what is Krishna consciousness and then take this process very seriously. So, we stop here. Any questions or comments, please to ask. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji.
Investment in long term is called an speculation or jua.
Yeah. So investing in long term thing is jua or not? That is your question. See, definitely speculative share market is actually jua. Wherever the risk factor is so high to such an extent that it is disturbing your sleep, that is jua. So many people experience this. Whole day, night they cannot sleep. They are just meditating on what is the stock. The, what is the index? What is that? Sensex? Index. It goes high and the heartbeat goes down. Goes low, heartbeat goes up. So just imagine your heartbeat is controlled now by the Sensex. Somebody sitting in America does something, your heartbeat goes up and down. What is it? What kind of life is this? So, you can do, but to the extent that you are not affected by it. Okay, if it comes, okay, no problem. If it goes, okay, no problem. That kind of thing. You are not completely against it. Yes. Yes. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna. Swamiji, my father and my uncle, they used to perform Janmashtami Puja. And they used to offer, take 1,000 name of Sri Krishna, and they used to offer Tulsi. So now we have stopped after that Puja. So I want your advice. So what should I do? I should continue at home, or I can join in the Hare Krishna temple? And what is the science of that offering?
I did not get exactly.
Acha. Hare Krishna Swamiji, my father, my uncle, they used to perform Janmashtami Puja and they used to take 1,000 names of Krishna and offer Tulsi to Krishna. And every year, but after their death, the puja has been stopped by brothers. I want to know what is the science behind offering the Tulsi, and now how can I continue? I should continue at my home, or I can join in Hare Krishna temple.
So Tulsi, offering Tulsi to Krishna is not supposed to be just on the day of Janmashtami. It should be done every day. Any offering Krishna accepts only when Tulsi is there. So that's a standard process. So ISKCON also follow the same process. It's not something different. So if you join ISKCON, you will be continuing what you are doing and much more also, in a more better understanding. There is nothing wrong.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, my question is we have been saying not to eat non-veg, but how about the Islam religion and the Christianity? How do Krishna consciousness goes over there? What is over there? For them, eating non-veg is a way of the religion. So how do we get in over there?
What exactly we want? What is exact? Okay. Yeah, how did that thing get into this? So in Islam and Christianity, there is a permission for them to take non-veg. Christianity says you can take non-veg except Fridays. Islam says you can take non-veg after doing a sacrifice. And in the month of Ramzan, you cannot do it. So there is a restriction. That should be understood. Restriction means best is you give up completely. Since you are not able to give up completely, there are some restrictions. The object of restriction is complete abstinence. Like suppose somebody is smoking 50 cigarettes a day. He goes to the doctor. The doctor says, oh, he thinks, he sees, he checks. If he does like this, he's going to die. So he should stop. But the doctor would not say, stop smoking. He would say, can you smoke 25 daily? Because if he says stop, then he says, he would not do that. But, okay, smoke 25. Do you think the doctor is giving a prescription of smoking 25 cigarettes? No, he actually wants him to give up. But he cannot. That is why at least 25. So accept Friday means what? Better if you give up. But you cannot do it. That is why accept Friday.